Everyone, welcome to the season one finale of Marketer Pitch, the news and trends podcast from a Vantage Black and Brown perspective. I'm Yesenia Reynoso, one half of the co-hosting team, and two, my opposite end is the other half of the squad, co-host and friend, Corey Davis.
Hi, everyone. Hope everyone is doing well, and I can't believe it. We are 12 episodes in of the season one finale of Marketer Pitch podcast. This has been an awesome journey, and I'm just starstruck that we've made it to episode 12.
I can't believe it, my friend. We've made it. This is episode 12 of the podcast. We've completed our season one journey. For those who have just started to hear the podcast and hear the words season one finale, here's the lowdown. Back in episode 7, we informed our audience that Marketer Pitch will now adopt a TV series schedule, aka Netflix, where we will do a certain number of episodes per season throughout the year. For our inaugural season, we decided to do a 12-episode run. Now, we have arrived at the end of season one, and my friend, looking back at where we started back in late October, the podcast is about to take off with a brand identity people can rely on.
Yes, and I just want to thank everyone for just their support and their listening. I'm not sure, but I want to thank everyone just for their just for listening for the podcast the past 12 episodes and just giving us your feedback and giving us your thoughts on how we're doing. So just thank everyone just for joining us on this journey.
This podcast is a labor of love. We wanted to do something unique and relevant in today's times, especially with the lack of Black and Hispanic voices in both PR and advertising. We felt it was important to audiences to hear the ins and outs of the industry from an unconventional, fresh, and timely voices. This podcast, we hope, will be the torchbearer for more voices to tell their story in a way that's relatable to all demographics. We just want to keep it real.
Yes. And Yesenia, I'm just going to go off the cuff a little bit, and I'm just going to just ask, what has been your favorite episode? Now we're on episode, we've had 11 previous episodes. So what has been your favorite episode so far? And I can go first if you need time to think.
No. Wow. So going back to 12 episodes, it's like taking a stroll down memory lane. But I think no doubt about it. The one episode that I really, you know, what I thought was my favorite was the Super Bowl extravaganza episode 7, because obviously we talked about, you know, one of, you know, the U.S.'s big cultural live events, the Super Bowl, the time where everybody can basically, you know, talk about the commercials, the game. And it's basically like a hurricane of all different types of marketing and PR initiatives just coming together on this one specific event. And it's basically, you know, sports on steroids for all of us in the marketing and PR realm. So I really had a great time, you know, talking about, you know, the Super Bowl, because obviously I'm a sports girl. So it just added a little extra juice to it.
Wow.
What about you, Corey?
So I wish I would have went first, because I would have said the exact same thing. The Super Bowl extravaganza definitely was my favorite episode for all the reasons you just mentioned. But just for mixing it up a little bit, I'll choose my second favorite episode, which was episode 3, The Election of Chaos. Episode 2, Election of Chaos. Which, if you and I challenge our listeners to just go back to listen to that episode. If you go back to listen to Election of Chaos, which I recently done, I don't like to go back and listen to old episodes because I don't like to hear myself talk. But if you do go back to listen to that episode, like I just did, our country was in a completely different place back in November. This was coming off the heels of Donald Trump losing after Election Day. Joe Biden winning, but Donald Trump wasn't conceding. The news media was still enthralled in this back and forth fight and dilemma, and who knows what was going on in this world. So that was definitely a good episode. It was definitely great just listening to how brands were responding to a certain time, the PR of it all. So I think Election of Chaos was a close second for me after the Super Bowl episode. But They're all my babies.
Well, I can certainly say with the truth, you know, that each episode, you know, of Marketer Pitch brought a certain je ne sais quoi, a different flair to it, where we touch on so many different types of themes, and as well as the deep dive analysis into them. So everybody has their favorites. So I think it's a great way for us to segue into the typical news promo. So for all of you to catch up on all soon to be 12 episodes and be part of the Marketer Pitch atmosphere, I should say. This podcast is available on all main podcasting mediums, iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, iHeartRadio, and many more. Like, comment, share, subscribe, and email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. Also, Marketer Pitch is now available on YouTube, so hit the subscribe button to be notified and watch all the latest content. All opinions are welcome.
Yes, please, please, please subscribe and watch.
Cha-ching. Well, my friend, now that we're wrapping up the season, we got some exciting big announcements to tell. Would you like to tell them or should I?
Go ahead, roll it out.
Well, let's not make you and our audience wait any longer. The first one is we will be launching a new web show under the podcast umbrella, debuting in June. We present Marketer Pitch Freestyle, a 15-minute intermission series where we talk about one to two topics from the advertising, PR, or thought leadership realm, and we run with it, giving our full analysis. Unfiltered, unlimited, uncensored. The show will premiere and air exclusively on YouTube, and we will give further information about that within the coming months.
Yes, so stay tuned for updates, please. We will be sending out communications on our social media feeds when the intermission episodes are ready, but please stay tuned for some really great, great content coming up this summer.
I cannot wait for this series, Corey. This is a freestyle rap type show for us to talk about one to two topics nonstop for within a specific time period. It's really going to bring a whole lot of juice and content that we can analyze in full detail. This is another side of us that audiences will get to witness. I'm stoked.
Same.
Ooh. And the intermission series is the bridge between season one and season two. And speaking of season two, it leads us to our next big announcement. Drumroll, please. Ladies and gentlemen, season two of Marketer Pitch returns to all podcasting mediums and YouTube in September. Yes, September. A whole new season filled with incredible content, relevant analysis, guests, audience, Q&A, and so much more. We'll review more exclusive details of season two during the intermission series, so I highly recommend you all to watch our series in the coming months. Nuggets will certainly be dropped.
Yes, I'm excited to come back for season two. It's going to be bigger and better than ever.
Boom! See those words in flashing lights? Bam, bam, bam. Well, all transitioning really quick to another topic that we promised our audience in earlier episodes. I recently started meditation, and it has helped me tremendously in terms of reshaping my mindset. Corey is now going to start doing it. And just a quick update, Corey, have you actually started meditating?
Yes. So based off your suggestion, I think we talked offline maybe about a month or so ago, I have started meditating. And because I'm going to make some people on the East Coast jealous, I am in Southern California, so it's a lot easier for me to go outside. So I went in my backyard. I put down my yoga mat. And I just really just took time to myself to meditate. I took some of the tips you gave me, which I'm hoping you're going to be sharing with our listeners, and just started doing that. And it really does take a lot out of you. You go in to meditating, you start it so much on your shoulder, stress, worrying about work. And within 20 minutes of just those meditating tips that you gave me, I felt completely relieved of all my stress. I felt that I can accomplish what I need to accomplish. And I felt that life is a lot better. So I definitely want to encourage people to meditate. And because of your suggestions, I've been meditating. Not as much as I want to. I want to get to a point where I'm doing it a few days a week or at least once a week, but I've definitely done it a couple of times and it's helped me dramatically. So definitely thank you.
Listen to Corey because he knows what he's talking about. Again, I cannot even begin to tell you how much it has helped me since I started it back in January. It has given me a much more calmer perspective on the whole world. And I hope all of you do the same. So obviously with Women's History Month or any other general day, wellness is the key to a healthy mental mindset, a much needed boost. My meditation tip is this: try a variety of meditations to find what resonates with you. Every one of us has preferences as to how we utilize the practice and how long to do it. Do whatever makes you feel most comfortable and don't try to push it. Do it at your pace. All right. With that, it's time to dive into the show. It is our specialized theme episode, Women's History Month. We got the news headlines of the week, our ad chat and bulletin board segments, and a special female PR trailblazer shout out. So, Corey, let's get this specialized Women's History Month theme episode underway.
Woo! Yes, let's do it.
All right, diving in. First up is the news headlines of the week. This one is from Adweek. Here's what brands are doing for Women's History Month 2021. Initiatives highlight gender disparities, offer monetary support, and celebrate inclusive womanhood. Corey, which brands hit a home run?
I'm going to be very controversial in this episode. So you're probably going to have a different opinion, and I welcome all the listeners to have a different opinion. I'm say no brand really took a home run, in my opinion, because I definitely think, and this is coming from an African American perspective, and after going through Black History Month and all Black History Months, I'm feeling very disconnected from brands celebrating certain months because it comes off as very, I'm trying to read this nicely. It comes off as very cheesy, corny, and it comes off as very self-serving. Like the Hershey's with the Hershey advertising to me just seems like it's another way to sell chocolate, and I'm gonna use women to as on the backs of me selling chocolate. I know that Hershey does things for Black History Month, but all of these opportunities for brands to really showcase that they love women, for me, the only thing they really can do to showcase they love women is release a PR statement showing how much women are in their workforce. How many women do they have in upper level positions in their company? How many women do they have making just as much as the men in their company? I think that's how we really celebrate and how we should celebrate women. And then last month, how we should celebrate Black History Month is showing the action of what you're actually doing. I don't care about your advertising, and I don't care about how you say you're going to showcase women. I want to see what you're actually doing to showcase women. So it's a little controversial, but I'm actually not a fan of when brands do these big hurrahs to celebrate women without actually putting in the work to celebrate and honor women. And that's by doing the hard work and showing equity within their own companies.
All right. I definitely understand where you're coming from, Corey, because in some aspects, yes, brands do a lot of talk, but at this point in time, the talk is cheap, and so we should now be seeing more action-oriented initiatives and solutions in order for these brands to basically make more prominent issues that affect everyday Americans take a much stronger stance. So I say, I probably differ with you a little bit that in this year we saw a lot more ads centered on specific women issues such as gender pay inequality, diversity, womanhood, among others, more so during the COVID-19 pandemic. I thought one that really, that for me kind of stood out was Secret's She Session campaign/initiative where the brand talked about the economic and societal ramifications women faced during the COVID-19 pandemic. An interesting statistic actually is that every one of the 140,000 jobs lost during the pandemic were jobs held by women. And this was reported back in December. So that is a number that is unfathomable. to speak, because now we're starting to see so many organizations from both the for-profit and nonprofit sector start to come up with ways as to how do we start helping women, and not only helping them refine jobs in their specific fields, but also to get them back on track from a professional development standpoint that was during the pandemic. The pandemic-related recession was landing disproportionately on the shoulders of women. So in collabo with YWCA, they launched a Secret Superheroes Moms docuseries raising awareness on women weathering the historic economic downturn, workforce development, and barrier reduction. But I could definitely say this at this point, you know, seeing that all these months have a very specific a demographic or diversified celebration honoring different types of groups is nice for the acknowledgement, but I think at this point in time, this should already be on autopilot. We should be celebrating our diversity every day, and we should be showcasing that across all industry sectors. And it is now time for brands to basically step up to the plate, put up or shut up, and basically start actually implementing the changes they say they're going to, instead of putting on an ignorant or superficial stance that they're for it, but in reality, they're the total opposite because of them not wanting to hit their bottom line.
Yeah, and I do want to clarify that. Because you brought up Secret, and Secret is doing something that's great, because I know they're helping in partnership with the YWCA, helping over 100,000 women and children by, you know, paying for healthcare and paying for childcare and helping just women in the workforce. So I definitely think what they're doing behind the scenes is really great. It's just, for me, it's just the advertising of it all. It just can come across as self-serving versus actually impactful. But I definitely salute them for what they're doing, and other brands for also the money that they gave and the support that they're doing.
Well, with that, we will transition on to our final news headline of the week, coming from NBC News. Burger King's International Women's Day campaign decried for sexism. The brand tweeted that, quote-unquote, women belong in the kitchen in an attempt assailed by critics to draw attention to the male-dominated culinary world. Corey, what was Burger King thinking?
So, actually, and I do want to point out that I know when this first broke, people were saying that this was Burger King UK, the official Burger King UK account's Twitter account, that tweeted women belong in the kitchen. So they made it seem like that it was very regional. This is our UK stance. This is a total Burger King. But it was later revealed that there was a full page buyout in the New York Times by Burger King. In the US, Burger King as a whole saying the same thing. So this campaign was actually a worldwide corporately done campaign. The fact that the UK, because they're ahead of the US in time, just got the ad first in the tweet, and Burger King quickly tried to distance itself from it. So this wasn't a small ad. This was a big campaign. And I actually do, this is another controversial thought. I think the ad was ridiculous. And I don't know who at Burger King is approving the ad. My only thought, and which is a controversial thought, is I think Burger King knew exactly what they were doing, because they knew if they came out with an ad saying women should be chefs, women should earn as much money in the food industry as much as men, and women need to be celebrated in the kitchen as they get degrees to become world-class chefs like a Gordon Ramsay or a Emeril Lagasse, it would be no press. The fact that Burger King had to do a negative ad and a play on words to get press shows that us as a population, us as people, we respond to negative versus the positive. And that's something that I had to look for within. It was like, would I have paid attention to this ad at Burger King was really just saying that we're giving scholarships to women so that way to support their dreams of being chefs? I don't know about that. But I paid attention when I saw that women belong in the kitchen and Burger King had released a tone-deaf ad. So my thought goes both ways. My thought is, yes, Burger King released a tone-deaf ad. But my thought is also looking from within and wondering, why do we respond to negative ads instead of responding to a positive ad of what companies are doing for women? What are your thoughts?
I'm just saddened with the fact that this is 2021 and we're still talking about misogyny and sexism in advertising, NPR. The brand should have known better. The PR team should have known better. I understand it was for their scholarship program, but the rollout was absolutely disastrous. The story happened to be in the UK, as you mentioned, Corey, but the brand is very well known wide. Just that 5 simple word tweet, women belong in the kitchen. Nope. I'm sorry. No. And tweeting it on International Women's Day is even worse, as well as publishing a full-blown ad on the New York Times. They got chastised by it, as they should. The competitors, the competitors criticizing them hardcore, demanding them to take down that tweet. You know, the backup tweet later explained what it was meant, but the damage was already done. The tweet got the attention, but using a decades-old sexist trope to be noticed isn't an effective strategy. And also, I do agree with you in certain extent, Corey, as to, you know, we as a society respond more to, you know, negative responses than positives that really should take a step back and think as to what exactly do we want to be putting out on the message.
Agree, because and that goes back to like my initial thought on the ad and what I had to look for within, because Burger King got how many retweets for this stupid ad? But if Burger King really would have had a positive ad, it would have been crickets. There's plenty of brands out there that did very, like you just said, that even though I may not agree with advertising and this effort for International Women's Month, but there are some brands like a Secret that done great work. And I'm pretty sure Secret didn't get as much press as Burger King did. And that's very unfortunate.
There's definitely a lot more to say on that front, my friend, but we'll stop it right there. That ends our news headline of the week. If you have anything to say, email us at marketerpitch.
Or if you want to put me in my place and tell me that I'm wrong, please.
Either way, please send an email over to us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. Again, all opinions are highly welcome. Next up is Corey's ad chat, where Corey offers his analysis into a specific marketing topic. Buddy, take it away.
Yes. Hi, everyone. So, as you know, this this podcast is a perspective from a Black and brown people. I'm Black and obviously Yesenia's brown. So why not in our season 1, episode 12 of the Marketer Pitch podcast, I'm going right back into something that impacts me and something I think is very important. So my ad chat for this week comes to us from Essence Magazine, who has an interesting op-ed on their website titled, and I quote, "Why Black-Owned Media Companies Deserve True Equity." The op-ed is penned by, I'm gonna get her name right, it's Richelieu Dennis. So everyone look this up, Richelieu Dennis. And everyone just please read the op-ed, the entire op-ed, because it's really good. In this ad, it's aimed towards the advertising industry as we enter the most important time season in our industry. No, it's not spring, but the upfront season. Now, this podcast is mostly listened by people in the industry, but for those who are not familiar with the upfront, it's a time where media companies meet with big ad agencies and brands to promote their latest offerings so that they can secure those all-important ad dollars that is mostly secured during the month of March to June. So just to put some numbers around this, over $5 billion is spent in the upfronts by brands and advertisers. So now in her piece, Dennis makes a case for equity and economic inclusion for Black-owned media companies when it comes to advertising spending. She included some facts in their ad. In this last year alone, Black buying power accounted for more than 1.4 1.4, I'm repeating this again, trillion dollars. This is 2020, a year that should have been people spent less money. Black buying power accounted for more than $1.4 trillion. One would think that with the amount of buying power, advertisers will be clamoring to reach Black audiences by spending with Black-owned media companies, but this is definitely not the case. Less than $200 million went to Black-owned media companies in 2020. So that means that advertisers spend just 14% of the Black buying power to reach them. This figure is obviously disgusting. Some of the reasons why this spend is so little is due to the fact that Black media entrepreneurs, whose companies are often smaller with less capital than the big guys, cite a lack of value that actually is placed on Black audiences, as well as agencies that target Black consumers, but refuse to hire Black-owned media companies to create, curate, and distribute their own content. And the buying restrictions that are placed upon Black-owned media companies and the arbitrary way rates are set based off of Nielsen ratings, which sometimes can discriminate against a lot of Black-owned media companies because those companies aren't rated, is completely destabilized. So in the industry, another point I often hear by my fellow ad vets is that they reach Black audiences or Hispanic audiences through their general market spending. I say that this may be true, but are you actually connecting with Black audiences? Just because you reach a Black audience, do you connect with them? Additionally, some may say that they don't have the money to create special advertising to reach Black audiences or Hispanic audiences. But with the buying power of $1.4 trillion, I say it's an obvious, easy decision to spend a little more to connect with Black audiences, as it will definitely pay off in the form of sales to your company. So advertising agencies in the last year have begun to recognize this trend, and starting this week, which I've been attending, IPG Media Brands is having their own upfronts that are targeted towards Black media companies called, and I quote, equity upfront. So the goal in this upfront is to highlight Black-owned media and target media businesses across the platforms to create an opportunity for equity and economic progress. The end result should increase the spending on Black-owned media companies by tenfold, and it's something I challenge every advertising company to do. So I've seen over the past year, diversity and inclusion matters, so it's time for brands and advertisers to put their money on the table and pay these Black-owned media companies to reach Black audiences. So Yesenia, just want to get a few brief thoughts because I know we're running short on time. Just on the importance of spending with Black media companies to reach Black audiences, and what's your thoughts on that?
Well, first and foremost, I ended up reading the article, the Essence article, and I highly recommend everybody to do so because it adds a lot of parallel and intersectionality between various demographic groups, because I think, everybody has, all of those similar connections when it comes to trying to establish and make connections with various audiences. So as the demographics change, so does the mentality and profitability of all well-known organizations. It's important for media-centric independent companies, especially businesses of color. Now is the perfect timing to disrupt the market and become a fresh, unique entity. Make that impact and continue to be the voice of the community. People are now looking for brand new, fresh stories, resources, and relevancy to keep tabs and push the status quo, especially with what's been going on in terms of the racial inequalities brought to the national forefront. We've been seeing a lot more talent, hires, and opportunities in corporate America within these sectors by hiring diverse creators, makers, and other talents. But we also know that those places are still not at the same level playing field due to the barriers and systems in place. Therefore, the focus must remain on building and owning more of these institutions to further tell the stories of our communities, thus creating more of a generational wealth within those specific communities. We also have to be able to grow and expand independent media so that opportunities for people within our organizations and resources can reinvest in the neighborhoods as well. And finally, with the current barriers in place in terms of ad dollars and partnership securement remains very high for businesses of color, despite the strong increase, for businesses of color, despite the strong increases in buying power. So here's the thing. If you're going to be entering into a new market, you must hire talent that knows and understands that particular market, create, curate, and distribute. I can't emphasize enough the necessary steps to combat and eventually eliminate all barriers for businesses of color to raise visibility and distribution of media dollars equally.
And with that, you said that perfectly. You ended that. You took the words out of my mouth and ended that perfectly. And with that, that is my ad chat for season one of Marketer Pitch Podcast. So please let me know if you have any thoughts or comments. Email me at marketerpitch@gmail.com. And with that, I want to pass it on to Yesenia for her PR bulletin board.
Thank you, Corey. You took the words right out of my mouth and into my PR bill. So I'm just going to head right to it due to the essence of time. With this being my last bulletin board of the season and Women's History Month, of course, I want to recognize how far we as women have come in our society. All the contributions and accomplishments paved the way for us ladies to take control of our destiny and build space to become leaders and trailblazers in all aspects of life. The journey is still not over. There's still so much to work on. From a PR standpoint, this is one of the few industries that is very heavily female. It's even more important that we see diverse female voices who can transcend the PR industry. In a recent PR news feature, the On Stereotype Alliance and Getty Images recently partnered to co-curate a gallery of diverse images in celebration of International Women's Day, which was held on March 8th, titled A Picture Can Speak More Than 1,000 Words to Eliminate Bias. A representative from each organization discussed the visual representation and how PR pros can help overcome negative stereotypes, overcome and eliminate bias. This year's International Women's Day theme was #ChooseTheChallenge, giving all individuals the chance to challenge the system in raising awareness or pave the way towards real change in some capacity. To summarize the article, I'm going to analyze the most important parts both female spokespersons mentioned. First, the power of visuals. Visuals can make a powerful statement when establishing a message. Accompanying an image with words moves visual language forward. They are a conversation starter. PR has the power to challenge stereotypes and outdated tropes by offering fresh new perspectives. Through challenging the standardization and status quo, we can shape narratives and engage in meaningful and sometimes uncomfortable conversations, ingrained beliefs, and implicit bias. Bringing in something new to make people think critically and open-minded can bridge us to producing results. Second, messaging matters, especially if brands genuinely promote and raise awareness on explicit bias, stereotyping, DEI, and other important gender and race-related issues. Nearly 1 in 2 female consumers expect a company to demonstrate a consistent commitment to inclusivity and diversity in advertising and communications. It's important to show messaging and content that speaks to all demographics. 77% of women say it's important that companies they buy celebrate the diversity of all kinds. A clear-cut example is beauty brands. Seeing them promote minority-owned businesses hiring diverse models and more explains to that clear-cut example. And finally, third, the rights of diversity. It's been well chronicled and will continue to do so permanently. But it's great people are finally realizing the uniqueness of our diversity and more importantly, implementing it as it should. The impact across all business sectors, especially in PR, is reflected in the creative output and the diversity of the teams that creates it. The COVID-19 pandemic demonstrated the typical outdated tone-deaf stereotypes and trope, either slipping back or more prominently displaced across PR and advertising campaigns. It's extremely vital to reverse and accelerate the volume of progressive portrayals seen around the world. A more positive and relatable story that truly reflects the women of today, the 21st century. The mindset today is vastly different than what it was in the 20th century or earlier. We need to let go of the usual perceptions and catch up with the times. By dissipating women in leadership roles, we create possibilities for all women. And it isn't just about visualizing women in leadership positions. No, it's about equally portraying it's equally important, I should say, that we portray diverse women across age ranges, backgrounds, and business sectors. Corey, the long road to gender equality continues, but we need to have these conversations now to generate progress towards the ultimate goal. We are all equal and deserve to be recognized as such. Thoughts?
Yes, and you said it perfectly when you mentioned that the goal of the PR industry should be to take away some of these tropes and misogyny, and actually show women in power, women in leadership. And I think it's really more important, less important for adults like you and I, and more important for children. Kids actually see things and it helps normalize things that may not be normalized in their own world. There's children that could be in certain cities and rural areas who may only have men or may only have only maybe only see women behind the scenes. But normalizing women in powerful positions, normalizing women and CEO jobs and even the president of the United States, I think would do a great job of creating equality in the future. So I definitely think it's very important for the PR industry to really step up and to really look from within and really showcase what needs to be done so that way women can start being shown as equal in the spotlight and in the media versus only showcasing men.
Well, you said it, you said it perfectly, my friend. To wrap this up real quick, the old ways takes forever to eliminate. People are hell-bent on keeping the status quo in check, as well as perceptions from individuals who are very resistant to making change. It's inevitable, but to fight bias, you have to fight with truth. We all must have the courage to raise our voice, build platforms, and be an ally for all women across the board. If we have to break it down within demographics, you can see crystal clear the barriers and issues each woman group face. It is up to us to be those communicators, amplify the issues face on, and force the power players to implement them. And if you are one of those decision makers, do it. And with that, that wraps up my bulletin board. Thanks to everyone for listening to my bulletin board segment for season one. Have any reaction to this as well as any of the previous ones? Email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. All right. We now quickly will transition to our final segment of the show, where I want to take a time to recognize a PR game changer who made her mark in the industry. With Women's History Month, I want to spotlight Doris E. Fleischman. Doris began her career in public relations by doing fundraising and publicity for a New York charity. She later accepted a job with the New York Tribune, where she became a reporter and later the assistant editor, where she covered major news stories such as the women's suffrage movement. She then accepted a position at Edward L. Bernays, who later became her husband, where she worked on various PR initiatives with prominent clientele. Doris was a feminist and PR trailblazer for advocating women's rights and equal pay. We salute you, Doris, on this Women's History Month for your contributions and voice.
Yes, kudos to you, Doris.
We've now reached the end of our show. Thanks to our audience for tuning in. Don't forget to like, comment, share, subscribe, or leave a review. Email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com to comment on any of our segments. The podcast is available on all major podcasting mediums to catch up on this and all 11 episodes. And don't forget about YouTube. Subscribe to our channel. Before wrapping up, Corey, any final thoughts on season one?
No, I think we've said it at the top of the show, but just thank everyone for joining us for this journey. This was new for Yesenia and I, and we hope to see you back not only for our intermission series later this summer, but for also season two in September. So just thank everyone for the continued support.
Again, thanks to everyone for watching and following us this season. Corey and I deeply appreciate it. Catch up on all 12 episodes during the off season. Join us for Marketer Pitch Freestyle, the intermission series in June, and we'll see you in the fall for season two of Marketer Pitch, the podcast. Signing off, everyone. Take care.
Bye, everyone.